Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild, a Legend of Zelda podcast, where we talk about The Legend of Zelda. In this season, we're playing through The Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword. In our last episode, Zelda got turned into some dino DNA, and we now have to go and find the Triforce. Does that cover everything?
I think you got it.
Pretty good summary.
We have a fossilized Zelda.
For those that haven't seen Jurassic Park, yes, we have. She is encased in amber right now, and yeah. The only way we can wake her up is by defeating the boss of the game.
I don't know.
She won't show
know.
Up until the credits roll.
Hey, so does everyone remember those things on the ground that we pick up on occasion while we're exploring called amber relics?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, just an observation.
Huh.
That's all that is. You're welcome.
There we go. Are those little pieces that fell off of Zelda as she was, like, walking around?
I'm going to go sit on a stool in the corner like you can in this game and just think for a second.
Ponder.
Yeah, just put your hands on your knees and stare into the abyss. I don't think they're actually related. I just thought they were cool.
When we get to a thing, we'll talk about it. Our current goal is to figure out what the heck the Triforce is. We were told, the symbols on your hand reference the Triforce, but it isn't the Triforce. In previous Zelda games, that on our hand was the Triforce. Like, we had that power.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this means now, though.
As our sword got stronger, it started to show up more.
I mean, our power has increased, so.
We have been chosen.
Yeah, we're super strong. We're pretty cool.
It could be in all the other games.
The goddess's chosen warrior. Ooh.
Yeah, and we've earned the. It was a temporary ink tattoo, and we've kind of earned the permanent ink tattoo at this point.
Mm-hmm. Now we have to go and do that. When we do come out of the past, we do talk to Groose for a second, and he tells us that he plans on sticking around here. He's gotten along with Granny really well, and so he just doesn't want to go back up to the sky, which is like, I kind of get that, right? Like, he just discovered there's this whole other world down here with all these things, and he just wants to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know. I like that. I like that for him.
I'm glad he has a redemption arc. I wish his redemption arc wasn't so annoying. Like, we get it, Groose. You're being helpful. Good job.
Please acknowledge that I am helping. Please, I just want to be helpful. Please.
Last time he was like, tell Zelda, you know, what's up. Like, I've moved on. You know, I've found my purpose. It's an older lady, but I've moved on.
I've grown as a person. Attention, everyone. I have grown as a person.
I hope everyone acknowledges these great leaps of character development I, Groose, am making.
Did anyone else notice that when he had his giant bomb next to him, that his clothing could also be construed as like a bomb? He's got like blue shirt.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at it right now.
Green leafage.
Yeah, he absolutely looks like a bomb.
And like a wick on top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't catch that before.
Groose is a bomb.
He just explodes.
He explodes on the floor.
Yeah. And when we walked out, I did want to say earlier, when we walked out of the door with Zelda, and we're just kind of like, Link's just like, kind of staring off into nothing, and kind of looks at Impa, but I just kind of like that look on his face of like, all right, yeah, okay, that's a thing. All right, what do we do, Impa?
What am I doing now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so another thing to remember here is that Groose also mentions he's trying to plant a tree. Mm-hmm. It hasn't grown yet. That's just all we have right now, mm-hmm. but remember it.
There was a tree spot in the past, too. So
yes.
I tried to dig.
Well, because it was identical. Because right. It's an identical room. Yeah.
Right.
There's no
right.
difference between these rooms.
It's true.
You can look through the door where Zelda is, and there's a big crack in there that you can kind of see the amber in there.
And oh, really?
So there's that, yeah.
That's funny.
You can't see anything in particular, but you can see the shape off in the distance there.
That's funny.
I mentioned in the last episode, we have all the items now. Like, not like, you know, there's still a couple other things we have to collect, but in terms of our being able to navigate, to obtain things and all of that, we have all of the items. And so there are a lot of other things that we can go and collect. I did find, Brian, if you haven't done this, you need to do this. If you go on Beetle's flying ship, he has a bed in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about this.
And if you do that, he will take you to his home island that you can go to during the day. And he has a sign there that he's just like, you know, squatters rule here. This is my spot.
Yeah.
And so, but I only come here at night. And if you go and sleep in his ship, he will stop there and you can go and talk to him. Beetle is putting on an act when we originally talked to him. He has a British accent. You don't actually hear voices, but they completely write his dialogue differently. And you can ask him what's with your voice.
Yep.
And he brings up the fact that, no, that's just the voice that I use for like customers and everything. And this is how I actually talk, and it's kind of like a British accent. Let me see. I have
the merchants are weird in this game, man.
One of the things he says is, but I must say, old bug, you did make the shop a mite heavier. my maleficent timbre of the maleficent timbre of my voice sounds different to you. This is my humble home of sorts. When night draws her tenebrous curtain across the sky, I come here. This is Beetle. This
I
is
love
Beetle talking
I
to
love
you right
Beetle
now.
So much.
Are these? I can't tell. Are some of these like made up words? Is this like Ratchet and Clank 2 where they're just like, indubitably? So, you know, like just they're just making crap up.
No, it's just I believe they're trying to make him sound like he has a British accent here.
You're trying to make him sound very well spoken,
like old English or something.
By just adding a bunch of multisyllabic words, and it doesn't work for Dennis Miller, so I don't know why they thought it would work for him.
Instead of like, oh, thank you, and like that's it, you know, it's like, let's take that. That's fake. Yeah. That accent, fake.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of other side stuff that we can go and do now. Just to, you know, it's a lot of collecting hearts, like heart pieces and everything. There's not a lot of major story stuff that we haven't gotten to do yet that we haven't mentioned on here.
We
but there's
a
lot of chests
quest.
You can do.
We can do a bug quest for Beetle coming
Stritch.
Up after.
Oh, for Beetle?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll get there after. I could talk about it after that.
Yeah, I haven't done that one.
Well, because we haven't done the part of the story that allows this to happen, but it involves Stritch.
Well, yeah. Well, we can talk about it. Stritch. If you do some stuff with him, at some point they'll mention. Well, I guess this is later. We have to do a few other things, and then someone will mention this. But we can just talk about it now and get it out of the way. He has an island in the Thunderhead that he is a home of all these bugs. And if you go there, you get a mini game to collect certain bugs as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I hated this because
I didn't do it.
I did the easy one. And it gives you like five bugs to find. And one of them was a mantis. I could not find this mantis. I've been on this island multiple times. It's a small island, but it's kind of like it wraps around in some weird ways. Mm-hmm. I could not find a mantis.
It's like a little puzzle island, puzzle box island.
It's. I
didn't try his
game.
And I
was like, I hate this.
I talked to him to start the beetle quest, which I think once you do this, because I think you have to leave, then come back, and then he's in there. And Beetle will say that he's lost his prized beetle and the cage in which it is kept. And Stritch knows something about it, or I forget. So, yeah. He will then give you half off the next item you want to purchase.
I've already bought all his stuff, so that would be useless to me.
But his poor beetle! You gotta give Beetle his beetle back.
Hey, since I saw him when I took a nap and went to a special island, he had his beetle and he looked very happy. That is going to be the end of the storyline for him. All right? I do not know what happens to that guy afterwards. I've got bigger stuff to worry about.
Schrodinger's lost beetle.
He might stub his toe at some point. I can't drop everything I'm doing to go help him. I'm
as
sorry.
As long as you don't go over there, his beetle will stay with him.
Yes, exactly.
Right. If you sleep in that bed, the beetle disappears. So just don't.
But if you go and help him, you get some nice gratitude crystals.
I only need one more. I only have one more thing to get from that, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know if it's worth it.
It's not. If you don't need to talk to Beetle for any more items, then a Dreamcast wallet is not something you need.
I want a Dreamcast wallet. What are you talking about?
9999.
No, I don't need that. I want a Dreamcast wallet. I mean, hey.
Yeah. I mean, we all do.
Let me go look on Etsy real quick and search Dreamcast wallet.
It's a Max wallet.
You
imagine like the little flap folds up? That's how the wallet unfolds. Oh man, it'd be so good. Dreamcast wallet.
Were there any other side quest things that need to be talked about? Because from here on, we're gonna be pretty story heavy.
I didn't go back to the sword guy. I meant to, but
it's just you. It's only monster parts and stuff that you get from him.
You don't get a piece of heart from him. He just gives you like monster parts.
No, yeah. It's just if you want another way to get those.
That's what I think.
There's a side quest that gets unlocked during this section, but we can talk about it when we get there.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Ran around and did dumb stuff. I caught up on some of the stuff I hadn't done on Skyloft. But yeah, you know. Did some skydiving to a nest. You know how it is.
We go and talk to Zelda's dad. And he is so casual about his daughter being off into an unknown land.
I mean,
because even
really
if you
tell him, he's like, oh, I get it. We can't really talk. You don't want to talk about it right now.
No, well, you get the option of like, is Zelda okay? And I think you can say like, yes, or it's just like, actually. And then like his response. Let me see. I think I did the actually on here. Let me check.
Well.
When you put it that way,
he does say you want to tell me but you can't. I understand.
Yeah, you don't know.
I'm sure you have good reason for keeping quiet. After my daughter, the last time I saw my daughter, she fell below the clouds into an unknown land. But your silence is totally fine for me.
Yeah,
there should be an alternate version of this game where Link is just a skeezy private eye, and he's like, no, I'm getting information about your daughter, but I'm going to need you to send me next month's payment ahead of time.
So. Yeah. Hey, by the way, could you answer a few questions for me? There's some things I want to know.
Yeah, we need to ask him about the Triforce, and he's sort of surprised that we even know what that word is. And he does say, oh, well, I don't actually know much about it, but I do know who you could talk to, and that is Levias, the great sky spirit that has guarded the realm for ages. But he also is just like,
or you could talk to this guy next door who knows more about it.
He goes and says, like, I only know that name. You need to go talk to Legolas next door, and he'll tell you more. And so
this section is a lot of, you need to go talk to this guy.
Mm-hmm. No, you need to talk to this guy.
That's the 3D Zelda storytelling right there.
Have you talked to Tear Bear? Oh, well then you should talk to Terry.
Owlin basically says, okay, yeah, I can get you to where you need to go, but first you have to learn a new move and you have to qualify for that. And so we get a little flying game where we have to smash some targets. So we have to do this challenge here. And Tegan, I remember you were really struggling with the qualification game at the beginning. This, I felt, was probably very similar to that because you're still chasing down things.
Yeah, it sure was. It sure was. I did this one. So the first one took me literally 40 minutes. This one only took me 3 tries. But the 3 tries did feel like they were forever.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
I didn't realize going in that there were more than 10 targets available.
Mm. So it was like 15.
Yeah, once I understood that, it made it easier because I wasn't like, all right, well, I have to go through and hit every one of these specifically.
Yeah.
But there are going to be a lot of movement-based trials in this section. And the movement in this game is kind of garbage. So, flying around is not good.
Yeah, this will be my first instance of basically struggling against the controls until I take the batteries out and plug the batteries back in. Or I think I can take the nunchuck out probably too. But yeah, basically just turning the controller off. The game shuts down, or the game just like comes to a halt.
Calibrate?
I recalibrate the dang thing. The thang ding. And try again, because, yeah, I am at points holding the controller upside down because I'm in the middle of something, and that's what it thinks straight ahead is. So, also, it didn't help that my first try, I really misjudged the distance that the spin attack would get me to.
The whole thing, like, we already had a move that did the same thing, but we didn't spin. Like, we could still do a charge, and you could still attack enemies with it, but now we spin.
It's like, and this
that's
is
all
the longest,
that happened here.
It says, like, this is the longest attack you'll learn in this game. I mean, in life, or something. And I was like, okay, so this has got some distance on it. And I waited till I could see the whites of the target. and I got real close, I thought, and still did not give it enough. And so, I failed miserably the first time. But just a higher success rate. I just, just knowing the distance on it made it easier. But it took me one time to figure it out.
I had to
Brian,
pick
with what
route.
You were... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I had to pick a route. And then go for it and just not deviate from that route at all. Because if I deviated, then I got turned around and mixed up into where I was.
I knew we were going to have to get at least one bird, I figured. I figured there was going to be one, or like they weren't going to let us get away with only stationary ones. They're going to like, you got to get one. But so I managed to luck my way into one on my good run. And I was like, hopefully I don't need more than that.
So we complete this thing here, and we get the spin move, and Alan just says, I've told you all I know about this. You should go talk to the guy at the Lumpy Pumpkin, because he actually did some stuff with Levias. And it's like, okay, I didn't need to talk to you at all. Like, I could have stuck with the move that I had previously, because it didn't give me, like, a stronger attack, necessarily. It was like, why did I have this distraction at all? Why?
Because you got to graduate.
How are you going to
I already graduated.
How are you going to be the best flyer in the academy if you can't learn the special spinny move?
Yeah.
I could have been doing that this whole time. I could have just, it's like there's no.
All your other bird friends are going to judge you. They're going to be like, oh, that guy can't do the bird spinny move. Ugh.
I'm saving the world. I'm the only person that can judge other people.
Yeah, but you don't get the true Jedi Master rank just because you're on the council.
Yeah.
I'm moving on from this. So we go to the owner of the Lumpy Pumpkin, and if we mention Levias to him, he is just sort of like, oh, you knew about that? Well, it just so happens I have this giant pumpkin next to me too that I'm gonna I have soup in right now anyway.
He says he offers Levias a offering every year. He's been meaning to do it this year, but it's that Thunderhead's been pretty cranky, so he's kind of been putting it off. But all right, we'll do it.
Yeah, if you're willing to fly it out there, I guess that's okay. And you're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah,
I know a guy.
Simp 9000 shows up, and takes the big pumpkin for us. They do mention that they have to put it to the little floating rock that has the rainbow over it, which I had stopped at that thing multiple times because I'm like, why is this here? Why does this look different than everything else?
Oh, I avoided it because it looked different.
Just like, eventually, I'll have to go to that island. For no reason.
Well, yeah, it had a bunch of hearts on it because this is going to be sort of our starting point for this air battle that we're going to be dealing with. When we get up there, we drop it off. Levias comes out, which is a giant whale, comes out from the bottom of the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got these, this is like phobia, like phobia triggering kind of things where it has these eyeball tentacle things coming out of like barnacles on its side. And it's like, man, I'm sure there's plenty of people that watch this and just like had to like take a moment or probably stop playing. Brian, is this where you stopped playing?
No, it's not. The bit, what? This is where I turned and went, oh, shoes. Yeah, no. I wish I had remembered it. The fight, though, I don't, because I would have immediately thought of it with the Nadir fight in Breath of the Wild.
I mean, you don't remember it because it's just a boring, pointless fight.
Yeah, this didn't stick out to me. This is not the part I remember. You asked me if I remember any of this episode. We get to some stuff later that I remember.
So we got to smash some eyeballs again because this is a Zelda game. And then when we do out of its blowhole, this big tentacle thing comes out with another giant eyeball on it. This is Bilocyte. The ocular parasite.
So I was like, BCG, okay, eyes. Let's hit it with the arrows. No, don't do that.
BC, do you have any issues figuring this one out?
I figured out how to fight this boss by accident because much like Brian just said, I assumed we were going to have to shoot it in the eye because it's an ocular parasite and it's made of eyes.
And it's made of segments that have straight lines going all the way up it. And so I thought, ooh, we're going to have to go up to it and like slash those segments and it'll get shorter and shorter and slash, slash, slash. Nope. Yeah.
So I tried hitting it with every item in my inventory. I tried slashing at the base of it. I eventually tried to hit it with a Skyward Strike, and that was when I figured out how you're actually supposed to defeat him. So
I just was like, oh, it's tennis again, just like with the Deku Scrubs. Because that's what I do. When they shoot it at me, I kind of step to the side and do a nice forehand strike.
Yeah. Well, it's like you can hit the projectiles back at it forever, and it doesn't do any damage until you hit them to the side. So if you're flat with your shield or you slash up and down, then it's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
Why?
So sad. This isn't the only time we see this guy. And it's so sad.
When did we see him before? Because I was going to say, it's
he shows
I don't
up
feel
in Breath of the Wild.
I was like, I don't feel sad for the tapeworm.
Yeah, no, the Leviathan shows up in Breath of the Wild.
Oh, okay. I see. That's what's sad. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah.
Is it, is wait, sad. Is it like a throwback thing? I don't remember this.
So no, if you do the Leviathan Bone quest in Breath of the Wild, where you have to go photograph the skeletons, the three giant Leviathan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yep. He's one of them, huh?
He's one of them.
Oh, poor guy.
He's the one in Elden. Does it?
Okay.
I have said multiple times, they got to live a long life. Yep. They aren't going to live forever. I can't be sad about someone that lived a long life.
Yeah,
all right?
You can.
No, I can't.
You can.
He's just a fuzzy, fluffy little guy, and I love him. And yeah, yes. It just reminded me of Mr. Bushy Eyebrows, Oshus, even though that's a different dimension. From Phantom Hourglass, he was a big old fluffy whale at the end of that game. So,
right. Oh. Anyway, we go and do this battle. And we bring Leviathan back to his senses, and he goes and he thanks us for all this stuff and thanks us for the pumpkin soup and everything. And then is just like, you're only here because you need to know about the Triforce, right? Because that's the only thing people want to talk to me about these days.
And I was like, yep, yep.
Which is just weird because like this is like the first one. Like, how can you make assumptions like this unless he was literally bestowed as the sole keeper of knowledge for this, where like someone told him and they were like, you're the only one, if anyone ever talks to you it's going to be about this because you have nothing else to talk about. Okay.
Well, we're holding the Master Sword at the time,
our hand is shiny.
Okay, sure, I guess, whatever.
We are brimming with spiritual energy at this point in
right.
time, so it's a logical
when we have
conclusion.
Our spirit has never been more unbroken.
It's just whenever we have these silent protagonists in games where you meet a person and they're just like, I assume you're here to talk about this thing here. And it's like, yep, because that's the only reason you exist.
Press A to learn the thing.
He explains to us that we need to get the Song of the Hero. It's the final song to learn. And that it is... in order to access the trial, the final trial needed to get to the Triforce. You need every trial we've had, we needed a song for. We don't have a song for this final trial.
Right.
And so this is the big shopping list thing now, is to get this. And I say that because it's not just one piece of a song. It's technically four pieces. He is keeping the fourth until we find the other three.
Yeah.
So...
yep. Makes
yes.
perfect sense to me.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Right. I guess it's just sort of like, yeah, he's just like, well, there's no point in me giving you the fourth. I'm like, you could just give me a little tune
no.
right now.
No, you nice. Won't understand. You won't understand the tonal masterpiece if you only hear the end. Bring the rest of it.
So, he tells us that we have to go talk to three other dragons. We have met one dragon so far.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we sort of have to make the assumption that there are two others in the two other lands that we've been to. We just haven't met them yet. And I guess, yeah, we'll go ahead and take a break right now. And when we get back, we'll go ahead and meet these dragons. And I'm sure it's going to be just real quick. They're going to be real easy to deal with. And they're just going to be like, here, let me sing you a song. La, 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 la.
Mm-hmm. In and out.
Hi, everybody. My name's Tegan Somerset.
I'm Rocky Hardy.
And I'm Brian Cartwright.
And we are Impossible Coin, a podcast about video games. Join us every other week as we discuss gaming news.
Did you know he tried to smuggle $100,000 across the Canadian border?
Genre differences.
Sometimes it's your turn to press the button, and sometimes it's your turn to block.
And deep lore. I have spent so long on this, Brian, you can't do this to me.
We will sell you nothing and solve none of your problems, but we sure are fun.
Impossible Coin,
a podcast about video games.
See you on Thursdays.
So, we're back. Big ol' Will told us to go learn some music. Now, okay, can we get these in any order? Is that how this works? Or is there... Do we have to do... I guess I'm not clear. So I'll just say the order that I went in things, I went to Elden Volcano first.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Farron Woods.
Okay.
Then I went to the desert.
All right.
It's open.
BC, what did you say?
I did woods, woods, volcano, desert.
Yes.
I did woods, desert, volcano.
So, awesome. Yeah. Okay, cool. We all did it differently. Fantastic.
Jolly Wild.
The one time where you get to make a free decision.
Yeah. Hey, there we go.
Brian, what was the one you did first?
I did it the order they were first introduced to us. So woods, fire, desert.
Okay, so yeah, we'll talk about the woods first, which is, in my opinion, the worst of this is the low. This is the low of the game for me. This is the worst part of the game for me. And I had defended the swimming previously.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind.
Like, I literally got into here and we fell into the water and my first thought was like, man, I'm so glad that the swimming is way better than the flying. And I regretted saying that by
immediately.
The end of the
it's like instant regret.
It is.
I dropped into the water and immediately texted Jeremy and I'd be like, you sure we gotta be doing all this week?
I'm very scared. Something we need to mention first, though, is that before we can go into there, we can't just go into the woods. We have to go back to the sealed grounds.
There's only two places we can drop.
Yeah, we have to go back to the sealed grounds and we have to do another imprisoned fight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's largely the same. This time he can float, and we have to go and get launched onto his head with the Grucinator.
He's got a very nice evil demon halo horn thing now.
It's very
Evangelion. So you know that he's gotten... Yeah, so you know he's gotten stronger.
He still floated stupidly, though.
Oh, yeah. No, he did float stupidly. Yeah. Like, he's still dumb, but like now he looks stronger.
Now I'm looking for the points in this game where I quit. And I got to this one and I was like, maybe I quit here, because after the only thing that's like different about this one is, you know, we've got Groose the whole time until the very end.
Yeah. But yeah, we go through all that and then Groose offers to send us into Farron Woods because they tell us it's all flooded.
I was leaving that to you to say at this point in the fight, Groose throws us onto its head because his bombs get blocked from him.
I mean, I said that earlier. So
oh, you did? Oh, okay. Sorry. I missed. Yeah. Sorry.
yeah, you missed like I did the first time trying to launch myself onto him.
Oh, did you
and
not?
Then,
oh,
And then the old one goes, oh no, it's too late. It's the end of everything. And then the imprisoned eats her. And then I get my first game over.
Wait, really?
I did not see that.
I mean, it goes to black. It just, you don't actually see it, but you do see the last thing you see is the imprisoned's gaping maw swallowing the old one.
Okay, because I've gotten a fade to black on this, but... The old one was not involved in mine. So, yeah, that's wild.
But Groose launches us into Farron Woods, and we see that the entirety of the map is flooded to near the top of the great tree in the center.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one entrance to the great tree that is not covered in water, basically.
Yeah. Well, so yes. There's really only one entrance that you can go through at first, and that's at the bottom. But when we first get there, we could go and see the Kikui, and the head Kikui, if you go and talk to him, he's just so first I love this. He goes, "Oh yeah, you're that guy before. Never got your name. What's your name? Oh, Leek. That's a weird name. Anyway. Looks like everything's flooded. I don't know." That's like all he has to say. He just doesn't really care what's happening.
He's like, "Yeah, sure is a problem.
At least it got rid of the monsters, though."
Yeah, he's not even like, "It sure is a problem." He's just like, "I guess this happened. Oh, well." Yeah.
There's really nothing up here that can mess with them, so he doesn't really, probably doesn't care.
I love how relaxed they are about everything.
Yeah. Because there's like none of their predators
he's relaxed.
Are around.
Every other Kikui is on edge and is afraid of everything, but their leader just doesn't care about anything. And maybe that's the balance, right? They're just sort of like, the guy that's supposed to be protecting us just doesn't care, and we've got all these predators around us constantly that are going to kill us.
I mean, he's also huge. Like, I think once you get to that size, they are not predators anymore.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I think you've described Doodle's life of, "Dad, we're going to die." And I'm just like, "No, it's going to be okay." He's like, "No, there's things outside." And I'm like, "I know, it's going to be all right, dude.
It's a truck. What's a truck?"
"Dude, that truck's going to get us.
It's so large and it's so loud."
Yeah, so we can go swim to the bottom of the tree, and then we can go and find Farron there. We just basically go through the tree thing again, go all the way back to the top.
Yeah. Farron's like, "What's up?"
Farron's just like, "What are you doing here? Oh, yes, you're that one little human that helped me before. That's not enough for me to help you yet, though."
Yeah.
I was this was so annoying.
I was insulted.
Yeah.
I was like, "Are you kidding?" Like, "One more test." And I was like, no. The other dragons get to do one more test. You and I are cool.
We should be chill. What is your problem?
The challenge given to us is that we have to collect a whole bunch of tad tones.
Yeah.
BC, did your knowledge of music help you at all in this challenge?
One, absolutely not. Two, I don't know what Nintendo's obsession is with tadpoles and making them into eighth notes.
It's got the little tails. It's like, look at it. It's so perfect.
It's so cute.
And I think three, did you all know going into this that if you did the dash attack, it would collect any nearby tad tones?
Yes.
No.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I did it.
So
I,
long,
did I figured it out pretty. No, I figured it out real fast on like the first group of them, because I was like having trouble steering, and so I pointed toward the correct direction and shook the nunchuck so that I wouldn't veer completely away and got them, and that was my. Yeah, go ahead, BC. Sorry.
Yeah,
the first set that you encounter are in a ring in the water. And I spent like 10 minutes trying to gingerly swim and get every one of these before I realized that I just had to dash attack.
Yeah.
Jeez.
For me, the most annoying part was there is a line of like 12 that you have to collect these in a group. And if you wait too long, they reset.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go down this one path that was just real long with them. Otherwise, it just took so long to go and swim for these things.
I did that with my nunchuck upside down, because I like, and even then I could not get.
Why your nunchuck? Your nunchuck doesn't have that
nunchuck,
kind of sensor.
Sorry,
in it.
With the Wiimote
okay,
upside
like,
down.
Well, no wonder you had trouble. You were doing all these
not doing anything. With my Wiimote upside down, and I still couldn't get a straight line out of Link. And so I have to do what I do when I'm balancing on the rope, which is to just weeble wobble between like slight left and rights. So he's just sitting there like constantly rocking back and forth because there is no straight. This is terrible controls. I don't necessarily like hate it other than I have to like do a time crunch. I don't mind, I guess, just swimming around a Mario Galaxy level. That's what this.
Oh, don't even,
is.
Don't even though.
Yeah, no, but it's but Mario, no, not it is not.
To collect. There's things.
It is.
To, yeah.
Yeah. It is not on that level. But I'm just like, yeah. It's just like, you know, it's an underwater section of like a 3D platformer. Practically, it's whatever. I'll find them all eventually. I'll get up. I'll douse. I'll dive back under. I'll get up. I'll douse. I'll look for some more. You know, whatever.
At least the
it's
music's
not great. Yeah, the music's pretty. I remember the song. I love the little song at the end, but like, this is just unnecessary.
Yeah.
Also, what's up with the cursed air bubbles? Was that really?
Oh, why? Why did we need poison air down here? It was not. We were already trying to manage our oxygen levels. There's no reason for us to have something that takes it away.
And have to use a move that is required to use air to collect these things in the first place. Tendo, can we have a sidebar about poison bubbles, please?
Yeah, absolutely. But we get all those. They play a song for us. It's nice. And we get the first piece of a song here.
That song's great. It's
we go back
one
up.
Of the most delightful pieces of music in this game. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then she sings it to us, and Link's like really into it. And I'm like, nah, I like the other version. I like the other version better.
Eh. So after this, they do. So she does explain to us and all this. She was just like, there were a bunch of monsters here, and I didn't like that, so I flooded everything. Turns out I didn't realize there were people that were good that lived down here. And so I'll go ahead and unflood it now. Sorry about that. Anyway.
Does she even say that much? Just, I think she's just like, it was all kind of silly. I don't know why I did that.
She says,
he can have it back.
You are not, I see that you're not an ocean dweller, and I'm sure you still have things to do here, so I'll go ahead and get rid of the water for you right now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she was still just going to keep it flooded.
Talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face.
I felt that the whole time. The whole time I felt that way. But we can go back up. And then, Brian, what was the one you did next?
You did the desert. We did the fire. Also one I remember. And is my leading candidate for spot where I threw my controllers away and was just like, I'm either tired of this, I'm sick of doing this, I don't want to go back to these areas, and then like, here, we're taking all your stuff away, now go through this just straight line of prison break stuff, and I'm just like, can we just get to the game? Can I just get back to what I was doing? Can I have the song, please? Cause I remember this part and I remember just being like annoyed and over it.
Tegan, how'd you feel about this?
It was okay. It was annoying, but it was fine, I guess.
Yeah. Doing it now, it was fine, but I remember just like kind of a critical mass.
Yeah, I wish there was like a little more I wish the sneaking was a little more sneaky, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I wish there was a crouch mode because again, this was like a Metal Gear Solid thing and I loved it.
An army crawl would have been divine here.
When they took my weapons away, I was just like, oh, this is fantastic. I love this. Because one, I love the graphic of it. When you bring up your wheel, it just has a bokoblin face over everything. And I was like, this is so silly. And
that's
the other
reason I knew I had been here before. It was because I remember that wheel. And I was just like, all right. Yep. I remember this.
But I love the fact, I wish it was longer. I loved the way that they took your items away and then slowly made you get them back, each of those unlocking sort of a new way to get to the next section of this here.
Yeah.
So when we land in here, the volcano's going crazy, knocks us out to the point where we get captured. And when we wake up, we see one of the magma. Who was it? It was Platts.
Yeah.
Platts shows up.
The rupee guy.
Yeah.
Who tried
and
to
he goes,
sell us out or whatever, or tried to pull one over on us or whatever.
Right. And he gives us the magma mitts back, and that lets us dig our way out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we have to avoid the light and keep away from any other bokoblins, because if we get seen by them and they get their horn sound off, it's an immediate like KO where they launch it's kind of funny the way it happens. They have a catapult that they launch a boulder at us. They have their own Grusinator, and they launch this boulder at us, and we just see this shot.
Well, he's licensing
like boulder
now.
View. Yeah. They have this boulder view shot coming at Link, and he's just like, ah, and then it just like goes to black, and then you just get kicked back to your checkpoint. And I thought that was hilarious. But
I want to talk about this stuff. Oh, sorry. I want to talk about, is it Merkay Island? Is that in Ages or is that Seasons? It's the island where they take our stuff away.
Ages?
I think it's
say.
Ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's where all the Lazafos take our stuff. Yeah.
And that's great because you're running around this area and you have access to lots of it. Trying to get all your stuff back that you've lost. And with this, I just, like, you know, there's really only one way for you to go. You can see all of your different stuff, but things are blocked off. It's the area is not open. There's one, you're going to get this part first, and then you're going to get this part, and then you're going to get this part, and then you're going to get the next part, which is the way it worked in Merkay Island. But, like, we were still in one big space getting all of those parts. And in here, it's like, okay, now we move on to the next spot. Now we move on to the next area.
I think you're saying the same thing, Brian. It's just the visuals are just different. Like, visually, they couldn't do this on the Game Boy. And so it was more layered and more labyrinthian. With this, you still have the same kind of thing that... It does channel you a different way through those. It just is more obvious with its design overall. I wish this was longer. I wish that this was that all of your items were there. And I agree with you. I do wish it was a little more open. It would have been great if you could have gotten things in a different order.
Cause I don't think this section is necessarily bad. I think, like I said, I was just kind of tired of the game at that point when it just brought us back here, took all my stuff away, and I'm like, I just want this song, man. I just want to get this song. And so, like, I'm fine. I would like a little bit more openness to it. Maybe like you could choose between a couple of the first weapons or something like that. But there's ways to make this, better than...
Feel better.
But we go through all that. I mean, BC, how'd you feel on this? You didn't say anything on this.
I enjoyed this one the most out of these three sections, I think. It's the perfunctory stealth section, but I thought it made good use of the magma mitts, and I thought it was cool. I would have preferred, you know, not doing the tone pole thing and just having a longer section of this that was more fleshed out.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
We're friends with that dragon. Come on. All right, whatever. We move on to the upper area, but there's a spot here that we've never been able to enter this room, or I forget how they blocked this section off from us, because the dragon's right here.
It's because the lava flow is now creating platforms on its own, and we can jump onto one that'll take us to an entrance there. When we get into the volcano itself, it just says, like, here's your sword, And then Fi shows back up and just like, oh, so great to see you, Master. Here's a percentage, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. And then it just goes, you fight a couple, Lazafos, and then they just, either that or it's, I can't even remember, it might just be Bokoblins. But you fight a couple enemies, you open a treasure chest, and then it's just like, here's your adventure pouch and everything
also
else. And I was like, really? Everything? Like, that's just it also now? Like, come on, commit to it.
Yeah, I was like, in for a penny, man. Like, you've already gotten me this far.
But, yeah, then we go up into there and we meet the, we meet Eldon, and Eldon's just, he's cool. We just show up and he's just like, oh, wow, you made it here? Well, that must have been a challenge for you. Since
hey,
you're
Hooman,
the flesh and bone.
What you doing, Hooman? How'd you get in here?
You little goofball. Look at that little rascal. Hey, guys, can you
tussles
believe
his hair.
This Hooman got in here. Wow, good for you.
You little scamp. Want to hear a song?
So, yeah, he sings a song, and then we can go. We go back up again, and the last one left is the desert. Yeah, I mean, BC, how'd you feel about this desert thing? For me, it was just, it was just straightforward, right?
Yeah.
Like, we are just following along this time stone thing.
Yeah. I thought when I thought when she introduced the section, we are going to get some more minecart madness sort of stuff, mm-hmm. which I was
yeah,
a little
I did
bit
too.
Disappointed that we didn't bring that back.
Yeah.
But it was very cut and dry. I think conceptually it was cool to see, oh, here's the dragon. He's definitely dead, but
yeah.
The time crystals can bring him back. So
I did not consider that. I thought it was going to be a dude we had to like fight or something. But yeah, how are we supposed to know? Are we just supposed to know to land here because of the light on our map or what?
We knew we were supposed to get here, and it's just exploration. You just have to go through some things. If you remember, we did come across a Goron who was digging through some things, and when mm-hmm. we go and meet him again here. I had said earlier that I thought this is where there was a glitch thing. It's not. There was something in this game that if you did something out of order, you could mess yourself up. I don't know if this was it or not, though. But either way, okay. He makes a little path, and he makes a point of just like, I would have to lose a whole bunch of weight before I could crawl through this hole here, but we can. And that takes us to the gorge, and that's where we end up here, and we can see this little path that we go down. I thought it was interesting where there's a locked door by the skeleton here that it is like off the cliff, and you do see a sign that says only the god here can go through this, mm-hmm. and you assume it fell out of his pocket when his body was decaying or something. And you can use the beetle to go get it. So I thought that was interesting because you can see it glimmer. You can just see this little shiny thing off in the distance there. And you know that's something you want
to
get.
I think they expect you to be thinking of beetle here because they put one of those rocks guarding the locked door on a platform. And then they put the bomb on top of the cactus. But because I wasn't thinking about beetle and hadn't for a while because we haven't really been made to use it, I picked up a bomb and then put it down and then picked it up again and threw it. And so when I saw the glintering key off in the distance, I was like, ooh, I'm going to jump off and skydive to that or something. So it took me a minute to consider the beetle as my option to do that.
And I remember early in this series, Brian, you were like, oh, I got into a room, got to launch my beetle and survey the area.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Eventually,
oh, how the turns have tabled.
It's true. Eventually, we get so many toys that, you know, the toys you got
for...
You
forget how to use them.
Yeah, second grade Christmas toys eventually just fall away.
So,
but... Go ahead.
Just a quick side note, Jeremy. It was this section that would softlock the original game. Okay. I think it might actually hardlock.
I guess it was
save.
A hardlock. It was a hardlock.
Yeah,
yeah.
It hardlocked the save, and it would happen if you would go complete this section first and then talk to the dragon again. Because afterwards, once you complete this section, it unlocks unlocks
a boss
the arena.
Rush mode.
So
yeah.
So if you go back and talk to him about the arena, then, or you talk to Golo again, it'll just lock everything down, and the other events won't happen.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, that's, oh man. And it get yeah they leave it open. We're like, oh, you can pick all these things, but it's like, don't. we gave you freedom to pick things. Turns out it'll mess up your whole game near the very end.
Why'd you have to
it's
say
not
that?
Like, I'm at like 20
big choice that I was like, ooh, they gave us a big old choice here. It could ruin broken. My game. So I'm glad I did it in the order I did, I guess.
Yeah. After I'm like 25 hours into this game, and I know that I think I'm a quicker time than you guys, or at least for like Brian and BC, because I know like BC, I've seen your Switch time, yeah, at least, so I knew that. Tegan, do you know how much time you've played so far?
I think I'm like 38 hours or something.
So yeah, but yeah, mm-hmm. So you're talking 35 at this point, been like 35 hours or so that you would have gotten to here, at least 35, 36, mm-hmm. something like that. And like, this is where the game can just completely break for you, uh-huh. and you can't go forward at all. Is this where you stop playing, Brian?
No.
You could have fallen on that. You could have been like, yeah, and the game broke and I never played it again.
I would remember if that had been the thing that killed my game. I would have been like, yeah, I got stuck in a thing and that was it.
Yeah.
I quit. I quit because the game made me quit.
We can just skip through this challenge that we have to do here for it, though, because we activate a mine cart and we have to follow it along and just keep going through these platforms. It's kind of standard mm-hmm. fare. I don't think that there's anything notable to talk about on it.
It's appearing and disappearing platforms with the time. We don't travel next to the cart. We travel on magic platforms that appear.
The outskirts of the time bubble is where we hang out.
And enemies and bad guys will show up there. Da, 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 da,
but we bring that minecart back to where Lineru's corpse is, and that wakes him up. And he talks about how he's sick. You know, he should be an eternal god, right? Mm. But he got a cold, and he never got the remedy for it. And that's how he ended up dying. That's why he's a pile of bones when we get there.
It's Goku all over again.
Mm-hmm.
They were growing a magic tree that would have had a fruit that would have helped him, but they're doing it in a desert where these trees don't grow, and so it never worked out.
Right.
It was poor planning on their part from the beginning. But we can go and pick up the sapling, and I do love when you do that, one of the robots are just like, hey, what are you doing? You can't take that. Unless you're trying to help this guy, because I'm just going to believe it if you say that anyway.
I like that the dragon is clearly like an engineer. Like, the robot says something earlier that, hey, we got permission to hang out here from the dragon. Like, but when we talk to the dragon, he's like, what's your name? That's dumb. Let me throw some serial numbers around it. He's like the one that powers them, or like he's involved in all of this robotery that's happening around us. I don't know.
This buffoonery and this robotery.
Yeah. I don't know what the implications are of that, but yeah,
he's the lightning dragon, you know? And so he uses electricity, and that's like his whole thing is that he can create, he can turn things that are made of metal and stone into active living things.
Well, like I said, they made it sound like they approached the dragon to be like, can we mine here or something? And so yeah, he didn't make them, so he just kind of saw an opportunity and took it or something. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, but I didn't get
Tegan?
Very far.
Yeah.
Can you clear this up for us?
Nope. Yeah.
Unfortunately, not. This is just one of those things where it's like the robots definitely do act like they had to ask permission to be here. And at the same time, the dragon is kind of treating them like, yes, hello, these are my creatures and I put them here to do things. So it's like,
he met them and was like, do you guys need a manager?
Well, yeah, basically. Have you guys considered a hierarchy structure where I tell you what to do and then you do it? And they're like, oh no, I hadn't thought of that one.
So I think they needed permission to mine specifically in this area because the time crystals were so choice.
Yeah.
It's a very Goron way, you know. We need the right rocks.
But anyways, he's sick. We still need to help him. Y'all know where someone might be growing a tree?
Where?
That'd be a really good place to grow a tree. if we go back to the sealed grounds, we go to the temple there and
the time tree.
Well, this is what was interesting to me. So I was wondering, we can go back in time to where the little hole is and plant it there. And then when we go back to current time, it's full grown and it's fruited. Now, I wasn't sure if this was going to be a case of Groose is like, whoa, this thing just sprung out of nowhere, or this is how it has always been, right? Because if we're traveling through time, like, what kind of time travel rules are we using here, right?
Right. Has Zelda always been like behind the door, or did Zelda just get behind the door?
Yeah, he reacts in a way that just doesn't answer that question, though. Because he just basically says, oh, look how big this tree is. And that's it. It's not like it just did it or it's always done that. It's just admire the tree.
Hey, look what I did.
You know, don't. Was it there before Groose got here?
Right, right.
Or did Groose do it? Like, does Groose think he did that? Like, we don't know. We don't know.
If tree, yes.
But we can get the fruit. And this thing is huge. We don't need help from the robot, fortunately. Apparently, like, this is big, but not big enough for the robot to come help us. We can put this in our pocket. And we go and take it back to Lineru, and I love when he eats it. He pops it in the air and just catches it in his mouth. And then he goes, zing-a-ding-ding! Gets back to normal.
Is he been getting his lines from Cartoon Ganon?
This is part of my plan all along. He sings the last part to us. Well, I guess the third of the four parts to us. Right. And then we can go back to Levias. And we got to land on Levias's head, too. I went to the rainbow platform first, just because I thought, okay, right, this is where we interacted with them before. Let's do it again.
You want to meet up at the Rainbow Island? No? Mm-hmm. I'll just drive around until I see your car and hop in. Okay.
We land on his head, and we start to play the song and get interrupted because the other dragons show up and sing with us. And this is really nice because this is a new version of like the classic Zelda Overworld song. Right? It's the, yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I was waiting for
no,
you,
Tegan. You're correct. Sorry.
Yeah, so this is a rendition of that, and they play it, and it sounds fantastic. I'll put it at the end of this episode so you can hear that.
I think my favorite part of this is just how they held, like, the tension in holding that last note of the item get jangle.
Uh-huh.
And just like did it. And then everybody jumps in. I think that was just a great moment. I wish they used it in a better Zelda game, but
yeah, cuz this I feel like started with the DS Zelda where they sort of made jokes about that part. You know, like it was either Phantom or Spirit Tracks. I can't remember which one, but they did some things where it was like they tweaked the sound of the item gear, taken away from or something like
someone,
that.
Someone takes the thing that you're about to hold up away from you. Ba 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 ba.
Yeah, or you're dizzy and it makes a weird noise. Yeah, that was like, I feel like the first time they did that. And then they did it here too. And yeah, I'd love to get more sort of meta jokes for the Zelda games for sure. But with that song now, we can get access to the trial. Trial is over on Skyloft. So yeah, we need to go to Skyloft. And, you know, it's you can douse for it if you want. It's a glowy area. There's butterflies around there. You get near it. You play your song. You start the trial. I failed. This was the first trial I failed at the first time. And then the second time I got through it. Tegan, what about you? How are you doing on trials?
I did this one in one shot. This was the first one I did.
Fantastic.
I was thrilled. I was not afraid anymore. It was fine.
I'm not afraid anymore.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm the hero.
I played my little song and I was like, all right, I'm ready to go.
And yeah, BC, you got it down in one too.
Yeah, this one, the enemies are a lot more aggressive in this one, but just how compact everything is makes it easier and is not confusing as some of the other ones that were more open. So it's pretty.
It helps that you potentially have been in Skyloft more than any other place. So when you have this trial challenge here, you kind of know the layout better than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Should make it easier, technically. Yeah. But we complete that. We get the Stone of Trials as our reward. So it's not some special item that like we've gotten before where we get a new thing that lets us do new stuff. Technically, this is just going to let us go find the Triforce. And that's what it does here. Though it tells us this is one of a pair.
When she said one of a pair, I was like, if I have to find one more tablet.
No, she says that there is something that it's in Skyloft, right? I believe she says that.
Yeah, we just have to find the pair to match it up to. So find the location in Skyloft that has it.
But this is where we're going to wrap up this episode. For the next episode, we are finishing the game.
Oh, wow. Never thought we'd be here.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, yeah, go roll credits. I think that's a clear thing to hit for the next one. If you got anything else to do, go do that. We can go do a little challenge with Lanayru now if you want. There's a cool item that you get, but it's not necessary. I'll just say, if you haven't been using your shield very much, it's not going to be very helpful.
I'm going to say,
but
if you haven't been using your shield very much, you should go get it anyway.
I mean, it's cool in, like, theory, but, yeah, in style.
This item was a key for me beating the final boss. It was a key item for me.
Okay, in that case, yeah, go do it the challenge then.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got that maxed out magic shield, and that thing barely takes damage and immediately gets it back. But I definitely want to do get a hot shield. And is this a sort of never ending cave of awesomeness?
No,
yeah. No.
It ends.
It's limited.
It's not like, but like a cool. Okay, it's not like the dropping down.
If you've listened to Chat of the Wild, I've kind of described what this is multiple times. Anyway, go finish the game and then be back here and we'll talk about it and our thoughts on this game overall next episode on Chat of the Wild.